166 years ago this past Friday, the Treaty of Point Elliott was signed in Mukilteo. It is now the source of much power for many local tribes, but it wasn't always that way. The document is celebrated every year in tribal ceremonies that are open to outsiders. COVID is preventing that this year, but there is a replica of the treaty that you can go see at a cultural center on the land of the Tulalip tribes north of Seattle near Marysville. It also has a partial replica of a traditional longhouse and a hall of historic canoes. KNKX Environment reporter Bellamy Palethorpe went to check it out.
To see the replica of the Treaty of Point Elliott, right now you have to pass through a fancy face scanner that checks your temperature at the door. Then you enter a majestic hallway filled with wooden carvings and a massive cedar canoe. This is the Hebulbe Cultural Center. Inside the spacious galleries, there's a translucent case in one corner. All the pages of the facsimile are laid out there. It looks real. Brown ink squiggles and lots of X's follow reams of legal jargon in English. Raymond Freiberg Sr. has studied it for decades. He says when he looks at it, his eyes go first to the signed names of characters he's gotten to know from his grandparents' descriptions or because they're written about in the journals of the settlers. He points to the fifth name down on a central page.
The Watskalachi was probably the most traveled Indian in the Puget Sound area. He was a relative of my great-grandmother's, and I read about him so much it was like I traveled in the canoe with him when I did research.
This 70-year-old Tulalip elder and tribal historian is the authority here on this treaty. He started learning about it when he worked in fisheries, then went on to serve on the Tulalip Tribal Council and was vice chair for 8 years. He was mentored by the late Billy Frank Jr., and like him, has been a fighter for tribal treaty rights.
You know, a lot of people, they assume that through the treaties, the government gave us something. But the treaty itself said these rights were reserved. And that was defined in there, too, that there was nothing ever granted to the tribes. These were rights that had always belonged to them, and they were further secured with the treaty.
The rights to fish and hunt and live from the natural resources in their usual and accustomed areas. The treaty created the reservations, but also defines the tribes as sovereign nations. I ask him how many tribes signed this pages-long document. He recites from memory.
The Lummi, the Nooksack, Upper Skagit, Soxhawattle, Stillaguamish, the Snohomish, the Skykomish, the Snoqualmie, the Kikialis, the Suquamish, the Duwamish. That's pretty much it for Point Elliott. Of course, then you go south and you get into the Point No Point and the Medicine Creek and the other different treaty areas.
The list of signers could be a map of the region from roughly the Canadian border to North Puget Sound. These tribes are mostly named after rivers, their lifeblood.
We're fishermen. My grandmother fished till she was 82, and we all grew up on the beach and at the water, salmon fishing. And of course, in the Puget Sound, we probably had the richest economy of tribes anywhere. We didn't have to migrate after them, and the fish just kept returning and returning in great quantities.
They would prepare the fish and trade them with Indians in the plateau, and preserve them to eat through the winter months at home.
We were rich. The rivers were our treasure chests.
He says he has at least three relations on the list of names that signed this agreement. Also there, he says, his great-grandmother's grandfather, whose name is written in phonetic symbols that, over the years, he has learned to read.
Sounded out, it looks like shoot, but it's according to the way that my great-grandmother had it written down, it was a hoot-shoot. And the part of that always refers to something or somebody important.
He really lights up as he speaks the language. It seems to give him energy. He stands a little taller. With the stocky build of a paddler, he has a long dark ponytail with a graying mustache and glasses that fog up above his mask. The edges of a big tattoo peek out from his shirt sleeves on both arms. He's proud.
How did you learn all this language, Ray?
I really don't know much of the language, but I was raised with my grandparents on my mother's side, and they spoke Indian to each other all the time. So, you know, I think mostly they spoke it when they didn't want me to hear or listen.
He says his grandparents thought they should help children like Ray assimilate by not sharing their culture. At that time, a federal system of boarding schools forbid Native Americans from speaking their own languages or using their indigenous names. They tried to turn Native Americans into farmers. Catholic missionaries sought to convert the Tulalip tribes to Christianity.
We had to hide underground, you know, face imprisonment just for talking language, singing and dancing, prohibited by law.
Ray's generation has turned that around by fighting it in court. Yet, like most of the others who signed, the Tulalip tribes commemorate the anniversary of the Treaty of Point Elliott with winter dances and ceremonies. These are public. It's a way of showing that the treaty also gives them the power to preserve their cultures and traditions. It's done differently by different families and tribes, but Ray says the root of all of these gatherings is a unique and ancient form of indigenous spirituality.
In our ways, you know, a long time ago, children would be prepared for that spiritual kind of equivalent to a vision quest. We see ourselves connected to the water and the earth and all of these things, you know, that gift, that spiritual vision could come from anything, anywhere. There's days of fasting, spiritual and physical purification, so that the spirit could find a good place for it to come and occupy, and then they're sent out.
And they're brought back. The ceremonies can be smoky inside longhouses where people gather to see their initiation as new dancers.
Of course, the elders share with them a lot about their guidance in life and what this means and how to maintain it and keep it going. And you have their own individual song that helps them move on the floor and their dance too.
Those dances and big gatherings are not happening this year because of COVID, but they still stand as important rituals. And this Tulalip elder says the treaty should be regarded not just as the document that gives them rights to resources. He says it's a testament to all that they did for the white settlers when they arrived, guiding them through the land.
They wouldn't have got there if it wasn't for us. And I'm talking about our tribe. We own half of the history.
You can see that replica of the Treaty of Point Elliott at the Habulb Cultural Center in Tulalip every day but Monday. The exhibit is called The Power of Words. Be sure to bring a mask and be prepared for a temperature scan at the door. Bellamy Palethorpe, KNKX News.